This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Being that it was Ben Azmanim the past few weeks, so we did not give the shir on Parshas Re'eh, and we did not give the shir on Parshas Shoftim. So we'll try to give both on Re'eh and Shoftim Advar Torah together. In Parshas Re'eh, by Revi, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, your children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore Loisus Goydedu V'Loisasimu Karcha B'Neinechem Lameis. Someone passes away in the family, a relative, someone close to you. Do not rip, not yourself nor your clothing. Loisus Goydedu V'Loisasimu Karcha B'Neinechem Lameis. What is the Bonim Atem Lashem, and why is it significant and relevant in Loisus Goydedu? Why is this the introduction to the Isser Loisus Goydedu, to tear oneself and clothing on a mace, Bonim Atem Lashem? What is the point of the Bonim Atem Lashem in this context? So the Mefarshim differ many different pshatim. What is the Bonim Atem Lashem? What is the significance? What's it trying to tell us? So we'll bring a few of those pshatim from the Mefarshim, because each one on its own is a tremendous lesson in Hashkafa. They're big yesoidis in Yadus and Hashkafa that a Yid must know. Bonim Atem Lashem. Why do we have to know Bonim Atem Lashem? And in what relevance is it that we should know Bonim Atem Lashem? We will quote a few different pshatim, and we will show how in the Rishonim already these pshatim could be found. Many learn the Bonim Atem Lashem, it's about behavior. You need to have behavior which is appropriate as Bonim Atem Lashem, the king, the son of the king. The king has to be royalty. It demands respect. The behavior has to be such with royalty. Bonim Atem Lashem, you have to know that you represent the king because you're Bonim, you're his children. And therefore you too need to have a hanhaga, a ufpasung, in Yiddish they call it an ufpasung. It's the way you behave with royalty befitting Bonim of the Melech. If you look at the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, the Gemara darshins on the Bonim Atem Lashem that there's a machloikus. The Tanakam and Remeir, the Tanakam says Bonim Atem Lashem Bizman Sha'atem Noihagim Minhag Bonim, then you're called Bonim. And when it's not that way, you're not called Bonim. And we know Remeir, famous Remeir, says I'm Chaylik Benkach U Benkach Kruyim Bonim. No matter what, you're called Bonim. Notice that the Gemara doesn't say Bizman She'esim Ritzayne Shel Makayim, then you're called Bonim, but rather Bizman Sha'atem Noihagim Minig Bonim, that there's a hanhaga, there's a behavior that is required from a Yid because he's Bonim Atem Lashem, and that's the taich of the Bonim Atem Lashem hanhaga. It's a special exalted, a behavior of royalty. And Bizman Sha'atim Noyegim Minig Bonim Atem Kruyim Bonim. The Shiva Rebarin Kotla Zechatzadik Levrocha Mishas Rebarin Chelak Aleph Omid Kufnun. He, in the Shmuz there, he speaks, in Yiddish they say he muns, he requires the Tzibur of the Bnei Torah to realize Banim Atem, their unique position that they represent the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore their behavior has to be such, and their behavior has to be fit that they are Banim Atem, Bnei Torah Banim Atem Lashem. And this is the Torah's dictum. The Torah is trying to tell us that we must understand this. And this is achrayus, our responsibility. Who we are. Know who you are. Banim Atem Lashem, and behave so in your anhaga. This is in Rashi, from the wording of Rashi, we could see this mahalach. Rashi learns, you need to be on a pedestal of beauty because you're Bnei HaMelech, and Hirashi means it physically, but it's also, of course, spiritually, in the Anhaga, not only physically, Noyim. I always say this is the Makar of a Sheniyid. Muzayin Hasheniyid. People should look at you and say, Ach Kiba Kuk. The way the person behaves, Sishen. It's beautiful. So this is the first pshat in Banim Atem Lashem. We could also say that Banim Atem Lashem is about our approach of emunah mitachen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is that just like a child has full trust in his father, he has full trust in his parents, he doesn't fear, he's not afraid. Children, they walk around without a worry. Why? They know the father takes care of them. Banim Atem Lashem, like a child. That's one of the expressions that the Torah tells the Yid supposed to be like the nursing baby. He doesn't know from nothing. He is taken care of. He's carried. When it's time to eat, eat. When it's time to be changed, clothed, sleeping. You're like little children by the Ribbono Shel Olam who you could trust to take very good care of you, and that's emunah bitachon. It's a level, an ultimate level that a yid must reach in emunah bitachon. Ich bin der Ribbono Shel Olam's kind. I am the Ribbono Shel Olam's child, and I could trust him. He'll hold my hand. He'll take care of me. This I've seen also in the Rishonim. This yesod could be found in the Eben Ezra, the lashon of the Eben Ezra. V'tam bonim. Why is it bonim? What is the reference here? Bonim trying to allude. What's it trying to tell us? Achar sh'teidu sh'atem bonim l'Hashem. Now that you know you are the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'hu ayev eschem yoyser mi'av leben. He actually likes you more than a father. Father's love for a child is a humanly love. This is even greater. It surpasses a humanly love. It's the love that the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's kulei ruchni, it's the love that he has for you. So therefore, al tizgaydedu. Don't rip your clothing if you have yirzak ben aumglik. When something bad happens, someone passes away, don't rip your clothing. Al kol mashi osa ki kol ashe yosa l'toivu. Because everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does is for benefit, for your good. Ve'im lo'itivinu. And even if you don't understand it, kashe lo'yavinu abonim haktanim. Understand it's like a little child. What does he understand? Ma'isa aviyim. What the father does, he doesn't understand. Rak yismichu alav. But they rely. Tata takes care of me. That's what he knows. Kashe lo'yavinu abonim. Ma'isa aviyim. Rak yismichu alav. Kein tasu gam atem. You should do the same. Emunah bitachon. So you see, the Eben Ezra learns Even when bad things befall, have emunah and bitachin that the Rebbein Shlomo, the Tata, the Avarachaman, everything is with Rachmanis, and it's for your benefit. You're not like the rest of the goyim. Therefore, do not behave like the goyim, and that is banim atem lashem. There's another pshat which I saw in banim atem lashem. What is the significance? What is the message of banim atem lashem? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Tzadik of Tzirich. There was a Tzadik in Zurich, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, an Einikel of Rav Chaim. In the Sefer of Ishmael Amid Nunhei, he says, what does it mean, Bonim Atam Lashem? You should turn to the Yebishta whenever you have something that is needed, whenever you're in pain, whenever you need to turn to the Yebishta. Like a child who knows he can always turn to his father. Banim Atam Lashem, you are children of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When a person's in need, when a person's in a sorrow, when a person's in pain, he knows he has who to turn to, his father. Banim Atam Lashem, he always has who to turn to, especially tefillah, daven to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And understand that the davening, when you daven be'ei sarah, is like a child turning to a father in time of need. I enjoy saying over the story. I've said it over to the Talmidim many a time. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the great Goy in the Chazon Yecheskel, he would talk to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam his needs like a child talks to a father. Whenever a child, he has a need for something, it's not a big appointment necessary. He just turns to his tata and he says, "Ta, I need this, ta, I need that." And Chatzkel Abramsky used to do the same thing. Tata, Chatzkel is hungry. Chatzkel is hungry. Tata, Chatzkel himself, Reb Chatzkel, Chatzkel is cold, Chatzkel is tired, Chatzkel has a headache, he's in pain. Because a child does that with a father. Ta! I'm hungry. Ta, I'm tired. Ta, ta, I have a headache. Chatzkel flagzagen tate. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, tate in himmel, bin hungrig. Chatzkel is hungrig. It's your son, I'm your child. This too, I think, is in the Lashon of the Rishonim. This mahalach of banim atam lashem. Das geine mi baliatesis, venas lacharachamim, zok de baliatesis, bonim atem lashem aleikeichem, velachein imeis avichem abosar vidam. If your physical father, your flesh and blood father, he passes away, like this guy to do, don't tear your clothing in misery of despair. Why do people tear their clothing? They're lost. They're so in desperation that they... What are they going to do now? Hopeless. Loises gaidu l'usharei einchem yisoyimim. You'll never be a yasoyim without parents. Ki yesh lechem av. Because you always will have a father. Shuchai v'kai mizbarach. Mizbarach shmai. Av la'akum. A guy doesn't have this. So when his father passes away, he takish rips his clothing in despair. Why? He's in trouble. Who could he turn to? He has nobody to turn to. She'en loy av. Kim eitzei v'avonai she'en b'mayil. Because then he has to turn to his avodah zarah and self to fatayk the bank. It helps. What does he have? When his father, who can't stand for him, passes away, he has to turn to his avodah zarah. Rachmanis on him. What a big Rachmanis on him. But you, Lois is going to do. Don't feel despair that you don't have who to protect you and who to do for you and who to stand for you. you always have a different father. Banim Atem Lashem, that comes in to fulfill the needs that you have and the requests that you have, like your regular father. You have always the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Banim Atem Lashem, you have who to turn to. So the first pshat, Banim Atem Lashem, behave beautiful. Hanhage. Second pshat, bitachin, trust. Like a child trusts the father. And the third pshat is, Banim Atem Lashem, you're never lost. Hastalam alatata in himmel, and you could always have who to turn to, and you should turn to him. Like a child that turns to a father when he's in need. There's another pshat, Rabbi Yisai. Laisis gaididu. The pasuk says, Banim Atem Lashem, Laisis gaididu. So pashat Laisis gaididu means, do not rip your flesh. Chazal darshan Laisas agudais agudais. Don't make camps. Don't divide divisions among Klal Yisrael. For Yasu kulam aguda achas, Yidden must be an aguda achas, one unit. Don't break into little frills of different factions. Leisasu agudas. These are very big halacha shailas. Minhagim, the minig is to wear on Chalamay Tefillin and not to wear in the same shul. A lot of halachas come from Lois's Gaididu. Pashit it means, don't break up into different groups. Eilge Chafetz Chaim, this is brought in the Chafetz Chaim ala Taira, used to fatayich Lois's Gaididu. Even that there's different factions, don't make it into different groups. A lot of times we take what's taka, different minhagim in different camps and different kehilos, and we say, oh, that's this type and that's that type. Lois is going to do. That don't break into different parts. Don't make the different parts of Klal Yisrael. Agudas, agudas, that they're different camps. It's all one unit. And within that unit, there are many, many camps and many, many kehilos. Such a beautiful pshat of the Chofetz Chaim. He understood the essence of Klal Yisrael. The essence of Klal Yisrael is, we are different yet but one. We are all different. No one has to be like the other person. Yet unique in our differences, we are united in the common that we are all one unit. Leisasa agudais agudais. I would say that according to this pshat, maybe that's the Banim Atem Lashem. You're all children of the Eibishter, you know, in a family. They're all brothers. Just because they're all different than they usually are, doesn't make them that they're not connected as one, as a family, because they're Banim. They're Banim to the father. The Torah is telling us, Lois is Gaididu, like the Chofetz Chaim is understanding, don't make different camps. They could be different, yet they're all one, because they're all B'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all kinder from the Zel B'tata. A father wants that all the children, it's one of the most important things in a father's life. It's one of the things that a father yearns for. That the children, as different as they are, and as different paths they take in their life, yet they should remain echad, united. I saw also this yisoid in the words of the Chafetz Chaim in Chayvus Hashmira Yisoid Perik Aleph. Chafetz Chaim says that a person needs to pay attention when he speaks Lashon Hara to the situation that's happening and that's unfolding when he speaks Lashon Hara. We think you speak Lashon Hara about another yid, alright, it's about the other guy, he might not even be here. Yeah, but the Rabbeinu Shloim is present. He's everywhere. Says the Chafetz Chaim, would you speak Lashon Hara about a child in front of a father? When you speak Lashon Hara on anyone in Klal Yisrael, wherever it is, you're talking in front of his father. And remember, you can't talk. Most people understand that's a pretty basic rule, universally accepted and understood. Zakter Chafetz Chaim in Lashon Hara, remember, is an Allah kinder. And that person is the kin from the Rabbeinu Shleilam. I'd like to tell you a nice story. Chazak, the organization, are very involved in Kiruv. There was a big sugya that was Nageya. There were an interesting undertaking with Kiruv. So we were taken to meet the Satmar Rebbe's, first the one in Williamsburg and then the one in Monroe. As the Rosh Hashiva, I was asked to go. I did my job, I went. And the way there, I was thinking, we're asking a big thing from the Satmar Rebbe's, an undertaking. It was going to take a lot of financial and a lot of hours of work to do this Kiruv project. What can I tell the Rebbe's that will give them a push to accept on, to take on this thing of Kiruv? They should take it on. I came to memory a story years ago when I was a bacher. Actually, even before what we call a bacher, I was actually a kid at the time. Rabbi Yankiv Goldstein Zeche Tzadik Livracha, the manal of my yeshiva in Ar Yisrael, Mir Yudik Tzadik, I owe him so much. His mechanech, all the Talmidim, like a father, his mechanech a child with love, and he guided us. So he used to take a Shabbos into his home in Williamsburg, that's where he lived, and then Shabbos he would take us to the Rebbe's. Experience Williamsburg Shabbos, a Hasidish Shabbos. So he then took me, as we went from Rebbe to Rebbe, from Tish to Tish. I was a young boy from Queens. I spoke to me. It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful, elevated thing to see the Rebbe's and the Tish and the Hasidim. So one stop we made was by the Satmar Rebbe, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum. Rabbi Yoel was not alive anymore. Rabbi Yoel Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha. Rabbi Moshe Teitelbaum was the Rebbe. Rabbi Yankiv Goldstein pulls me over towards the end of the Tish and he tells the Rebbe, this is Aaron Valkin. So he goes, Reb Shmuel David Valkin's an Engelkel. Reb Shmuel David Valkin's a grandchild. I said, yes. He says, I have a nice story to tell you about your Zaydi, Reb Shmuel David. What's the story? Years before, there was a family that needed a lot of help, financial and many other issues that needed a lot of work. And Yul Zayda put himself into it, belay v'nefesh, spent hours toiling, hard work to help these people. When I met your Zayda, I asked him, I see you helped and you put so much Mesiras Nefesh work in. How do you come to this family? It's a family in Williamsburg. Now today, there's no boundaries, you know, with the phones and the traveling and the vans and the cars and that. It's all one. There's no agudas anymore. We're all connected, you know. In 2 seconds, you pick up a phone and a text. But then, you know, you had to pick up a phone. It wasn't, you know, all the time that from Williamsburg you came to Queens. How did you come to this family? So he said, my grandfather answered, I had no choice to help them because their father, their tate, their father, hat mir sehr eingebeten. He begged me to help them. And therefore, even though I didn't know him that well, I don't know this family, I'm not acquainted with them per se, but I gave it my all as if I knew them. Their father, he begged. And I couldn't say no. Says Rameisha Teitelbaum, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, the Satmar Rebbe, and how do you know their father? Where do you come to their father? That their father begged you and that you had a conversation. How do you come to him at all? It's also Williamsburg Hasidish Yid. My Zayda pointed upwards and he said, Zer Tata, their father, meaning the Rabbeinu Shloilam, asked me to help them. I couldn't say no to their father. Vanimatim Lashem has deep implications of achrayus, of responsibility, from one yid to another, understanding that he is banim and you are banim and you have the same father. Venatata bet, when atata requests vegan sein kind, remember these are his. So the achrayus is not only that you should view yourself as banim, but banim, not benata, but banim atem Lashem. Responsibility to the other, because he's also banim atem Lashem. I would like to now jump to Parshas Shaftim, and to tell you a Dvar Torah on Parshas Shaftim, a beautiful vort. The Torah in Parshas Shaftim, Perek Chaf, speaks when Klal Yisrael goes to war. He says, "La milchama loyvecha v'ra'isa sus v'rechev loysira mehem." You can't be afraid. Ki Hashem aleikecha imach. The Eibush is with you. Hamalcha meretz Mitzrayim. When they come close to the war, says the pasuk, they get a speech. What is the speech? Bahaya, dekarvechem el hamilchama. The Kayin goes and speaks to the people. And he tells them, and this is the speech he gives them. Omar Aleim Shema Yisrael, Atem Kreivim Hayoim L'Malcham Aleveichem Al Yerech L'Vavchem. Don't be afraid. And then the Kayin starts sending people home. They have a deferral. Who? Somebody. The first one is, you built a new house and you didn't live it. Go home. You never lived in your new home. Why? You might die and someone else will take that house. If someone was not a karem, he made a vin, he planted a vin, and he never got the fruits of it. Go home. Mia ish asher eres isha v'lay l'kacha. You got married, but you weren't with your wife. Shana rishayna, go home. Yei l'v'yashu l'beisai, because you might die v'shach yikachena. And little by little, the groups go home. The one who built the new house, and the one who made the vin, and the one who got married. Rashi points out something interesting. Pen Yamus b'mechama, Yashav. He better go back. Pen Yamus. How do you know he's going to die? What do you mean? Pen Yamus b'mechama, Yashav. Pen Yamus. Maybe not. Says Rashi. It means Shim lo yishma. Because if he doesn't listen to go home and he stays, then he'll die. Kedai hu shiyamus. He deserves to die. You were told to go home because personal reasons, right? Home. You have your own personal reasons why you don't have to go to war. You better go home. Because if you don't go home, you deserve to die. Why does he deserve to die? Maybe he wants to go for Kiddush Hashem to fight. The Rambam says clearly that those that went to war, they didn't go to war thinking that they're not going to die. You know, in a person's mind, he looks at the Melchemes Yisrael, that they went secure that they're not going to die, right? You're going for the Rabbeinu Shlom. Rambam says not that way. Rambam says, there's a good chance you might die, and the Mechaz Chinuch speaks about it because there's no Pikuach Nefesh Melchama. It's not that you have guarantees, you don't have, and you still have to go, says the Rambam Al Kiddush Hashem. You're going to fight Melchemes Hashem, you go to die. So maybe this person, He has ideals. This person has a lot of emunah and yiras shamayim, and he wants to fight for the Rabbeinu shel Olam. And he's not going to take his pardon of his personal life. What's going on in his personal life? So why does he deserve to die? He should be honored. He should be given a medal of honor that he goes to Milchama al Kiddush Hashem and he doesn't make his personal life an excuse. I saw Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar explains that if he goes to war, we have no guarantee that he can be focused in the Milchama. Because his mind will be on what's going on back home, the Kavana won't be there. So even if in his heart is in the right place, he wants to fight, but his mind won't be focused. And therefore, he might die. Because like the Rambam says, you need to go with tremendous focus of Kiddush Hashem and Milchemes Hashem. And therefore, he needs to go home. And if he doesn't, Pen Yamas, he will die. My Rebbe Rav Pam Zechat Tzadik Levracha said a different pshat. Why does this person deserve to die? He's doing L'chayra something beyond the call of duty. He's not going home to take his excuse. He stays on to fight. Why is he Kedai Lamus? Says Rashiva, wait a minute. The Gemara tells us that actually these cases that we send you home for the house, and it's really to cover up those that really had to go home because they had Averis and they were going to die if they go to war with Averis. And yet they're the smallest of Averis. The Gemara tells us, Sach bein tefillin letefillin. It's a small of an Avera that he by mistake spoke between the tefillin shel Yad and the tefillin shel Roish. He has to go home. Nevertheless, this person can't go to war. But it's embarrassing. You're sending a guy home because he's a balavera. Everyone's going to start, you heard, you saw this guy, who knows what he did already? I can imagine. You think they're going to say, he did nothing. He only spoke between Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Reish. They'll begin to say, who knows what he could have done wrong already? So to cover, we send home a lot of people. So you never know what this person, maybe he built a new house. Maybe he put up a vin. Maybe he just got married. So it's to cover the bizayin, the embarrassment of those that sinned and have to and must go back. Otherwise they're in deep sakana. Now the persons who don't take on this deferral, they stay. People are going to say, wait a minute, didn't he build a new house? Hey, wait a minute, didn't he just get married? So you see that only people who really did not avera go back. So you're bringing back the bizayin for the bali avera. People are going to say, wait, I don't see, you built a new house. Why aren't you going back? So the people who built a new house are really staying, and the people who got married. So who are really those that are going back? Oh, those must be the real bali avera. So to cover the shame, this was meant to cover the shame, and you uncover, and you don't behave in a way that protects the kavod of your fellow yid, kedai hu lamus. You deserve to die for that. The Torah put a mechanism, a mahalach, where the oivri avera that have to go back will be protected from busha. And by you not going back, you're undoing that. And you're bringing bizayin l'acherim. Says Roshiva, kedai hu lamus. You're going to die for that. In a melchama, especially in Zman melchama, the medak, the gechut, asayra, you're going to die and pay for that. I want to tell you over what it means to be careful, not to be mevaza, to be zohir, not to bring shame to another person. I have a beautiful story to share with you about my Zayda, Reb Shmuel David Walkin, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. My Zayda was an unbelievable speaker, tremendous baldarshan. He was sharp, witty, and beautiful divrei Torah, mechaya to listen to. He was invited by a convention. I'm going to keep the name of the convention covered. I don't want to bring out in public the name of the convention, but a very, very honorable, respectable convention that it's a treat to be there. And it's definitely a treat to be invited. He was invited, and he would get a free Shabbos for this because he was a guest speaker. His allotted time to speak was Friday night, third speaker of the evening. After the Suda, they had three speakers which were set up to speak, and each one was given 20 minutes. They should speak to, and the whole thing, all three speeches, 1 hour, and people should be able to go to sleep. It's a Friday night. No, one of the hardest things for a darshan, a rov, to do is to keep to the time. Nobody more than me knows that. The first speaker spoke for half an hour. The second speaker spoke for 40 minutes. By the time the two were finished, and it was my grandfather's turn, it was reaching close to the hour, and it was late. My Zayda said, I refuse to speak. I will not get Tircha de Tzibura. Tircha de Tzibura. I will not speak. The one who was the head of the organization was a Chosh Yid, Zechreinu Levracha. He was the Yashiv Reish of the whole organization. He turned to my Zayda and he says, Rav Shmuel David, I mean, we invited you for this. There was an invitation, a Shabbos. You have to speak. My Zayda said, yeah, but it's late and people are tired. It's Friday night. So he said, you know what? Get up, say something short, sweet, to the point, that everybody will enjoy, and you call it a night. That's how you would say it in Yiddish, and that's how it was told to my grandfather. Kurt Sharf Sumzach was the Oilam Taban Anno. My Zayda said, okay, I will. He got up, Moirai Verabosai. It's spät, it's late. I want to wish you all good Shabbos. Sei gesund. A guten Shabbos. And he sat down. He turns to this Yoshev Roish, the head, and he says, no, it was short, it was to the point, and the Olam definitely had Hanno. They definitely enjoyed. That's what you asked me. I delivered. Can't tell you that he was invited back. I don't know if he was ever invited. I believe he was never invited back for that reason. But my Zayda stood his own. And when people came over to ask him, what's this bizarre behavior? You could have said something. You could have spoke. So he said, the real reason I didn't want to speak was that the first two speakers were not that good speakers. The speeches were not that exciting. I am a good speaker. I was afraid that after the evening was over, people would walk around saying, ah, the first one, ah, this one didn't. He was sensitive to the hurt and bizayon of his first two speakers, his friends, his colleagues. You had to make the cheshbon, you had to calculate. What if I speak, you know, people might come and say, oh, even though he didn't do anything, wasn't trying to embarrass them, you know, but if people would walk around, he didn't want that there should be bizayin. He was careful, he was zahir. So this story was a beautiful story. So I told this story to Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe Rav Pam. I told it to Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe Rav Pam. Yeah. And he enjoyed very much, he enjoyed very much the story. It brings out the point of what the Rosh Yeshiva was saying, how you have to be careful. Even if you have a Ptur, You're going to go to war. It's scary. It's dangerous. You don't take that p'tur and your kedai lamus if you bring out that someone else will be embarrassed, even if he's a balaveira. So I asked Rosh Hashiva, you know, when we act, how do we ever know if we're causing someone else shame? It's almost impossible to have on every act and on every word we say, calculation, maybe some guy will get embarrassed. Ain't look kel yadeinu. What are we going to do? We shouldn't talk, we shouldn't walk, we shouldn't do anything. Whatever you do might hurt somebody, might embarrass somebody. I mean, what are you supposed to do in life? Of course, you have to make your utmost effort, I understand. But should a person sit and calculate, like the Zaydah calculate, if I speak, they're going to get embarrassed? How far do you have to take it? How much is in our hands to do? She said, that's a good question. It's a good question, you know. So I thought of an answer and I brought it to the Rosh Hashiva and I said, you know, every morning we ask, Hashem, right? And one of the things we ask Hashem should save us, He shouldn't bring us, protect us not to bring us to the hand of Nisayin, embarrassment. Simply means that we shouldn't get embarrassed. We shouldn't get embarrassed. Talmud Dvar writes that one of the greatest things that could happen to a person is bizyonus. Why? It's mechaper al avinus. And yet it doesn't do physical harm to the person. If he doesn't pay attention, so to speak, to the bizyonus and he swallows it, he could sleep at night. If you needed Yisurim to take care of Avoinus and you get physical affliction, that's rare, that's hard. You can't live with that. But Bizyonus, you can live with it. And that's the best way to be Mechaper Avoinus. Talmud Dvar says a person who gets Bizyonus shouldn't be bayit. He shouldn't kick it. Go, it's a good thing it happened. Bizyonus Malvik. It's a Kaparis Avoinus that doesn't physically harm you. You know what Yisurim, how it harms people and the suffering and the... Bizyonus is the best form of Yisurim. Welcome the Bizyonus. He speaks Grada between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're coming up now, it's before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Bizyonus is one of the greatest things that's Mechaper. My Zayd used to tell me, I heard this from him many a time, that the Chofetz Chaim used to say, he used to express himself, Chofetz Chaim was treated with great respect, admiration, and he says, what's going to be when I come to Shemayim and I don't have this great cleansing called Bizyonus? He was afraid of it. He was trying to bring out Bizyonus is a tremendous memarek. It's a tremendous plus. It cleans the person. It's memarek adam. So why are we going? And I'm not telling you that you should ask for bizyonus, okay? You know, Fashteitzah, the time of Dvar is telling us how good it is. Maybe prisoners can start dying. But you should send me bizyonus. Mar Shteitzin, like Heim, like Scharan. Tanoim said, listen, the serum is good, but not looking for it. You don't have to look for your serum. Okay, but you don't have to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, protect me from the bizyonus. V'loili de bizyon. If it comes, accept it with open hands, like the Talmud Dvar says. Why do we dive into the Eibishter of a lowly day? Be Zion. So I said, Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Pam, maybe the lowly day be Zion doesn't mean my be Zion. Maybe it means the lowly day be Zion to mevaza somebody else. Rabbeinu Shalom, help me that I shouldn't come to cause bizyonis to others. Shiva smiled. He said, wow, that's a nice pshat that we daven every morning, V'loyli Dei Bizayin, that we should have the siyata d'shmaya, not to be mevaza others, what we say, sometimes it's beyond our control, Rabbi Yishon, protect us, give us the siyata d'shmaya. No, it's a meirik chiddush. Years later, I found the makar for this chiddush, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, says V'loyli Dei Bizayin. We ask the Eibishter Bizayin more than anything else. Rabbi Shem, more than anything else, don't give us Bizayin. Why? Because usually when someone gets Bizayinus, he goes on a rampage of returning the bizyonis. You mevaza me, I give back the, and that's the worst thing to be mevaza somebody. So v'loyli de bizoyin, we're asking Rabbeinu Shloim, don't bring me to the bizoyin situation. I might be nifka, I might get hurt, and therefore I'm mevaza others. Rabbeinu should protect me from being mevaza others. So the loyli de bizoyin is really, as we fataych, Rabbeinu should help me not to be mevaza. That's a tremendous bakasha that we have to ask to Rabbeinu Shloim. As the hirus, please, and we need to ask Rabbeinu Shem Siyata Dishmaya for this. Give me the Siyata Dishmaya that I shouldn't be embarrassing others.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.